the head, hold me by the heart. Happy trails to you until we meet again.
This is Phil Nee. I hope all your trails are happy until we talk again later. We'll be back your way with some info to get you in the know, some community conversation on the morning show. Happy trails for now. WRCO-FM in Richland Center, where it is 59 degrees. Time now for a news update sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, enhancing the relationships with those you love, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. Coming up our morning show right now, it is 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Once again, thousands of people are protesting on the streets of Israel against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's handling of the war in Gaza. With the latest on ceasefire negotiations, ABC's Marcus Moores in Tel Aviv.
U.S. officials are still determined to get a ceasefire deal, saying that President Biden is personally involved in the negotiations. But one of the major obstacles is Israel's refusal to fully withdraw its troops from Gaza's border with Egypt. But a new draft of the U.S. bridging proposal is expected to be presented to all of the sides in the coming days.
Justice Department unsealing an indictment this week charging six Hamas members, three of them dead, with terrorism. Among those still alive, Hamas's political chief, Yahya Sinwar, who is believed to have been a key architect of the October 7th attacks. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump prepping for their first presidential debate. It will be held 6 days from now on ABC News. And a damning report blaming government and industry-leading failures in the Grenfell fire in London back in 2017. This is ABC News. With Labor Day in the rearview mirror, the unofficial summer driving season is also done. ABC's Alex Stone says gas prices are down.
Americans are now paying 52 cents less per gallon of gas than a year ago at this time. Over Labor Day, Gas Buddy predicts Americans saved over $750 million compared to Labor Day of last year because of lower gas prices. It's a result of lower oil prices globally, weakening demand from China, less driving in the U.S., and no major refinery problems. Along the Gulf Coast, the average is now at $2.84 a gallon for regular unleaded. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Quite a fun. Find in Maine a 17th century Rembrandt that may have come to the U.S. for an exhibit in Philadelphia in the 70s, rediscovered hundreds of miles away, tucked in an attic in Camden, Maine. The work called Portrait of a Girl, setting at auction site for a total of about $1.4 million. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend and happy birthday to my mom, Marie Niter, on September 8th. Her birthstone is sapphires, and they're on sale for the whole month of September at Pamela's. So stop by and save on all your sapphire jewelry at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
A high of 80 degrees today, warmer than normal for this time of year. South winds at 8 to 15. Clear to partly cloudy tonight, a low of 53. Thursday, increasing clouds, still warm, a 30% chance of a few showers or thunderstorms by early afternoon, at a high near 80. For Friday, 65 and partly sunny. Saturday, 64. And Sunday, mostly sunny and 72.
Slow ruins everything, so why not pay less for fast? U.S. Cellular's home internet gives you the speed you need for just $39.99 per month when bundled with a wireless plan with a 3-year price lock guarantee. Get fast 5G home internet made simple. U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms apply. See uscellular.com for details.
Ditch that cable and lock in your home internet rate at $39.99 per month for 3 full years. Visit your local U.S. Cellular store in Richland Center, Spring Green, and Viroqua.
Oh, the places you'll show. You can take in the show at the Richland County Meat Animals Sale on Saturday, September 7th, beginning at 5 p.m. in the Show Barn. Witness the hard work and dedication from our talented Richland County 4-H and FFA members.
Be sure to arrive early to meet these young exhibitors and see their animals up close. Our youth will be in the barns with their animals by 4 p.m., ready to greet buyers and share their stories. It's a unique opportunity to connect with these inspiring young people and learn about their experiences in agriculture. You'll find all of the sale animals in the livestock building, showcasing the variety and top quality work our youth have dedicated their time and energy.
The buyer's reception starts at 4 p.m. in the show barn. It's the perfect time to meet community members, enjoy a light meal, and find the perfect seat for the sale. Your participation, enthusiasm, and contribution supports the future of agriculture and the exceptional work these youth have done.
The Meat Animals Sale Committee hopes you'll join us to celebrate and support the incredible efforts of Richland County's 4-H and FFA members. Come for the show, see the youth and your neighbors, and stay for the Meat Animals Sale this Saturday at the Richland County Fairgrounds beginning at 5 p.m.
Jones Chevrolet in Richland Center is your local, family-owned, award-winning dealership for over a century. We always have one of the largest selections of trucks in southwest Wisconsin. JonesChev.com is updated daily with specials on new and pre-owned vehicles. We even have a secure credit application online to help us help you faster. Bad credit? Good news, we can help. Our special finance manager, Melanie, has some custom finance options and is eager to help. Jones Chevrolet, Richland Center, your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevy, together, let's drive.
On a morning show today from WRCO and WRCE, we're talking about the Richland Hospital and more specifically the Pain Management Department, and CRNA Brian McCarville is our guest. He's been with us before. Good to see you again, Brian.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you in here to talk about a very topical subject. There are a lot of us living with pain, aren't there?
There are. You know, pain is... There's a high percent of the people within the population that live with pain on a daily basis. And it's very prevalent.
And I'm guessing from you and your department, it's very satisfying when you see somebody walk away and they're pretty much pain-free then.
That is very satisfying. You know, the idea is we would love to get people pain-free. With pain management, a lot of times that is always the goal, but oftentimes we just want to get people, you know, decrease their pain to a more tolerable level and that they're able to increase their activities and keep their activities going.
Yeah, thus the title, you're managing the pain. It's not pain-free. You're managing it and learning to live with it and do some things better, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So it really encompasses a lot of areas when we talk about it. We're talking about rehab and things like that and anesthesia. I mean, your department covers a lot of different areas, isn't it?
We do. You know, we have an anesthesia department, which is consists of 4 CRNAs. It's Brian Miller, Chris Harpin, Nate Schwartz, and myself, Brian McCarville. And then we also have the pain management department, and that is consists of Lindsay Lamont, Ashley Sutton, Nate Schwartz goes up to pain management, as well as myself, Brian McCarville. And then Brian Miller is going to be doing pain management as well, too. So that's more on the chronic pain side.
Okay. Let's talk about the fact that you do serve a lot of different patients. Any idea of the number of those, Brian?
Yeah, so we have about 50 patients a month and with through pain clinic. And about 50 patients a month. We end up doing about 30 injections a month. You know, so we stay pretty busy. And, you know, again, that is running pain clinic, you know, the chronic pain clinic along with the anesthesia department. So the pain clinic is staying very busy.
So what areas do you see the most? The knees, the hips, the lower back?
Lower back. You know, we look at, so we'll look at anybody with spine pain, so neck pain, you know, upper back pain, low back pain, and then any large joints, so shoulders, hips, knees. But definitely pains in the lower back or stemming from the lower back is the highest degree of pain we see.
Isn't it amazing how you can have pain somewhere else in your body far away, but it all starts in the back?
It is. You know, we have the nerves that are come off our spinal cord in the back, and if those nerves get, if any pinch impingement on them or get pinched at all, it will transfer pain to somewhere else in your body. So you can have a disc issue in your lower back, and it could affect your leg, going down your leg, would be one of the most common.
Is it sometimes the fact that it was an injury earlier in life that kind of springs ahead to the forefront now?
It is. It's definitely, that is actually one of the questions we normally ask is did this pain come on with an injury? Did we notice that? So that is definitely one way that it can bring it on. Other ways is, you know, just as our anatomy changes, like if we have, you know, a scoliosis or issues of that nature, arthritis, you know, any of those kind of issues can bring on pain. But, you know, oftentimes it can be from some, you know, use injury or just overuse or an injury type issue.
Arthritis is probably one of the toughest things to treat, isn't it?
Definitely is. You know, there's not a lot we can do about that. You know, oftentimes in pain management, what we're doing is just trying to settle down those nerves, you know, because we're not, you know, taking out the arthritis in the joint. So we're just settling down those nerves. So to make it more tolerable.
Make it more livable anyway. Then,
absolutely.
Isn't it? Yeah, sure. But you're seeing some good results, obviously, along the way. Could you talk about some of those?
Yeah, so one of the markers that we generally do is we have patients, when a patient comes in to see us, we have them rate their pain. And their pain, we have it rated on from 0 to 10. 10 would be the worst pain. So like just in August, we as the patients we saw, they were rating their pain 9 out of 10 when we were seeing them. If we did an injection, we would have them rate their pain again. And then when they follow up with us, they would rate their pain another time. So the follow-up would be like 6 weeks later. So in August, we had patients were coming in. They would rate their pain 9 out of 10, so severe pain. When we did an injection, after the injection, they would rate it 1.5 out of 10. And then 6 weeks following up, they rated it about a 2.8 out of 10. So we just, the best thing about that is we took that pain from severe pain to a mild pain. And so we didn't totally take the pain away, but we made it much more manageable.
So what can an injection do other than, I mean, it's a temporary thing, but can it sometimes reduce swelling so things get a little bit better?
Yeah, so it can kind of reset the system. It
okay.
can reset the pain pathway that's going on, and it can decrease the swelling of a disc or any inflammation of that joint and help take care of the pain. So a lot of times people ask, well, how long do these injections work? How long can this work? And it varies on everybody. So like we've had people we've done injections on that their pain has been relieved for years. And then we have other people that we have to, you know, do another injection because maybe it only lasted 3 months or 6 months, the pain relief. So it depends on everybody.
Mm-hmm. The severity of things and, you know, obviously in that case, you're not going to totally get over it, but you're going to maybe reduce it and make life a little bit better then.
Yeah, and that's the goal.
Uh-huh.
That's the goal, to keep people active, to make life better, to make it more, you know, more manageable.
Okay. Some other things that you get involved with, you get involved in, you know, pediatrics and just about everything you can think of, don't you?
So that would be more on the anesthetic side, on anesthesia mm-hmm. side. Yes, we definitely get involved in, you know, pediatrics, you know, ER, we get involved in OB, you know, ladies having babies and then, you know, all types of different surgeries and stuff from, you know, like you said, from pediatrics to geriatrics. So, you know, the whole gamut of the age spectrum.
So is someone on call then for emergency services too from your department at all times?
Yes, yes. At all times, 24/7, we have somebody on call. So mm-hmm. For with the anesthesia department for any needs that would come up.
Okay. So keeps you on your toes, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Keeps us busy.
The hospital celebrating centennial. That's pretty spectacular, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yes, they're celebrating their 100th year anniversary, and that is coming up. It's really a neat feat, and it's wonderful. It's been a wonderful thing, you know, for the community to be able to have the hospital and have this care right at home. My wife and I have been in this community for 12 years now, and so we're very happy to be part of that.
Yeah, you're officially Richland Centerites then, I guess.
Yes, I'm not sure where that cutoff is, but I think we are. We feel like we are, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. What first drew you to the hospital, do you recall?
So, you know, I was working at larger institutions, larger hospitals, and I was asked to come and look at the hospital here, and I've always wanted to work in a critical access or a more rural hospital, and I didn't know that this would be the one, so when I came to visit, I just enjoyed the people, enjoyed the culture, enjoyed the town, and so we made the decision. So my big thing is I wanted to, like I said, I worked at level one trauma centers, level two trauma centers, and I felt it was just time to get more into the rural hospital aspect. And you know, it's interesting because my colleagues essentially have the same story too. Most of, you know, Nate has the same story. He worked in a big hospital. Chris worked in a bigger hospital, as well as Brian Miller did as well too. So, you know, I think just sometime in your career, you just feel like, you know, it's time to go to a smaller hospital and just really be part of the community.
Sure. Working in a trauma center, that can't be easy.
No, it's not. And oftentimes you kind of specialize in certain anesthetics or certain surgeries, but no, it's not. And you know, you get to see you do see a lot of trauma, you see a lot of sick patients. But the nice thing is when you have that experience, you can bring it to this community and stuff. And that's what the department has done. So,
yeah, as a patient, you don't necessarily feel like just a number at this institution. I feel.
Definitely. You know, that is the goal, that we don't want you to feel like a number. We want you to feel like an individual. We want you to feel, you know, like you're getting, the care is definitely focused on you. And it is, you know, that is one of the hard things when you work in a bigger institution is it's hard to not have people feel like a number because you have so many surgeries and so many cases you have to get done in a particular day. Where here, you can take your time with patients and stuff. So, yeah, the goal is to not make you feel like you're a number and make you feel like you are a individual that we are focused on and caring for.
It's common for people, whether it's the hospital or whatever, but to think, well, I get better care 50 miles away or whatever, but that's not always the case, is it?
No. You know, I laugh at that a little bit because it's not, you know, you have more resources at bigger places. You know, you have more specialties and specialists at bigger institutions. But boy, I would argue that you get very, very good care, strong quality care at the smaller institutions, at the rural hospitals.
Right. And I think the key word there, Brian, is care.
Yes.
You know, the staff does care. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Do you get involved in any sports injuries and things like that from time to time?
So we do see, you know, with our orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Beck, mm-hmm. and even with our general surgeons, we do see sports injuries, and we, you know, definitely do procedures for the, you know, sports injuries. As far as on the pain management side, we probably don't, we don't see those as much usually because the kids are, they get over that injury pretty quick, you know, so we're not seeing a lot of that. But, you know, we do on the anesthesia side, you know, with the orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Beck, for sure.
I'm guessing if you're watching sports sometimes and you hear about some sports injury, you may know what they're talking about, right?
Yeah, we have a pretty good understanding of, like, when they're talking about an ACL tear or MCL tear or, you know, hamstring tear and stuff. We have a pretty good idea of what's going on and how long it's going to take for that person to recover.
Yeah, it was probably, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, the first time I ever heard oblique strain. I had not heard that in sports before, but I hear that pretty commonly now.
Yeah, yeah, that's been an injury that's kind of coming up. And, you know, it's interesting how, you know, with the different workout routines and the different, you know, ability for people to pack on muscle, that you'll get these different injuries and stuff. But yeah, so oblique tears and injuries, we are hearing about that a lot more now.
I'm guessing, as you mentioned, some of it is the workout, some of the weights, you know, maybe we're stronger in other areas than we are, and, you know, we aren't focusing on the lower body as much as the upper or vice versa, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. You know, it's interesting. I was just reading an article that they were talking about hamstring injuries and talking about how sometimes somebody will have one hamstring that is a little bit weaker than the other one. And so that is it just because all the other muscles are so strong in the leg and their speed is so high that hamstring that's smaller is or a little weaker is going to have, you know, it's going to be more prone to injury.
And sometimes if you have an injured leg, the other leg, you know, is doing a lot of the work. The other leg can stand some damage too, can't it?
It can. It can. You know, it's interesting because we see that in pain management as well. You know, we'll see somebody who's favoring one side of their body. They're injured on one side of their body, so they favor it with the other side of their body, and then they develop issues on the strong side. So we see that a lot. Actually, we see that a fair amount in chronic pain.
Sure. Brian McCarville, our guest, will have more coming up on the morning show after this time out as we talk about pain management at the Richland Hospital.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Welcome to Eastside BP, your go-to convenience stop on Richland Center's East Side. Open every day from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 6 to 10 on Sunday. Fuel up with quality BP fuels and grab delicious kitchen fresh sandwiches, pizza, donuts, cookies, and muffins. Need groceries? They've got you covered with milk, pop, bread, buns, chips, and more. And don't forget to treat your vehicle to the touch-free automatic car wash. Eastside BP, Richland Center, your easy-in, easy-out convenience store.
Life is all about relationships. Shouldn't your insurance be too? At the Gokenauer Agency, they build business one relationship at a time. Finding an agent you know and trust can make all the difference when you have a question or claim. The Gokenauer Agency is your representative of Mount Morris Mutual Insurance Company, serving Richland Center and the surrounding area. Call the Gokenauer Agency today to experience fast, friendly service from its local staff. For Mount Morris Mutual Insurance Company, they'll be there when you need them the most. Gokenauer Insurance Agency, Richland Center.
Community First Bank makes switching easy. Our bankers use switch assistance to help you change over direct deposits, loan payments, bill payees, recurring transfers, and much more. Plus, you'll get more from your checking account relationship. Switch today and experience firsthand how Community First Bank, a local community bank, puts you first.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC.
A farmer's health and well-being affect more than just the farmer and his or her family. Farm safety is vital for communities and our economy. September is Farm Safety Month, and it's important for farmers and their families to stay up to date in farm safety training. This message is a service of Advanced Pump and Well Solutions in Richland Center, ready to serve you 24/7, 365, with the knowledge and expertise to keep your water running. Hillsborough Equipment, from the tractor in the field to the lawnmower and chainsaw in your yard. They service it all, any make or model. Napa Auto and Truck Parts of Richland Center and Boscobel has the products and expertise to keep your vehicles and equipment running and working. And Pine River Veterinary Clinic of Richland Center provides small animal and livestock health care and on-the-farm ultrasound services. Here's the scoop for the Richland Area Farmers Market. Today, it opens at 1:30 and goes until 6. They hope to have lots of good stuff, fresh flowers, lots of breads and baked goods, cookies, pies, muffins, greens, green beans, onions, garlic, potatoes, tomatoes, zucchini, sweet corn, cucumbers, watermelon, dill, maple syrup, honey, canned goods, eggs, meats, and much more as well. Remember, the market accepts EBT SNAP benefits and senior vouchers as well. To use them, look for vendors with a yellow sign by their booth to show they accept senior vouchers. For youth ages 4 to 17, come to the information table to receive two $1 food tokens, good for fresh fruits and vegetables and herbs. The Boomerang shopping bags are available for $5. Each time you bring your Boomerang bag to the market to use again, you'll receive a coupon good for any market product. Again, it begins today. No early sales. They'll ring the bell at 1:30 and close at 6. They want everyone to have a fair chance to purchase what's at the market. At the Richland Area Farmers Market today, across from Quick Trip at the historic Train Depot in Richland Center.
Brownfield Market Updates bring you the story behind the numbers. Ag commodity trading might be volatile, but you can count on Brownfield to let you know not just what the prices are doing, but why the markets are making those moves. We bring you the breaking updates on what's driving the markets all session long, giving you the up-to-date info you need on what's impacting prices and how that affects your bottom line, whether that's today, tomorrow, or in the coming months. Stay tuned to your local Brownfield radio station for the new, now, and notable in the commodity markets.
There are plenty of lenders out there, but few know farming like Compeer Financial. We are here with industry knowledge, a commitment to agriculture, and a will to help you succeed. Whether you farm 300 acres or 3,000, or your herd size is big or small, Compeer Financial, here for you. Call 844-426-6733 or visit Compeer.com today. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Brian McCarville is our guest on WRCO Radio. We're talking about pain management, the Richland Hospital and his fine staff and crew that talk about here. We've talked about it before, but it's really good information to learn and kind of know where we stand. And if someone is hearing our broadcast today, Brian, and they're interested, in what is the first step that they should take?
Yeah, so to come to the pain management department, they would see their primary care provider, and then just talk with their primary care provider about the pain that they are going through, and describe, you know, the pain to the primary care provider. So just have a discussion with their primary care provider and then ask them for a referral to the pain management department.
So you can't just walk in and say, I'm going to the pain management department. You've got to have the referral.
No, not usually. And the reason we do it like that is we believe that working with the patient's primary care provider really helps us take better care of that patient. We have a very good relationship with the primary care providers. They see our notes. If we have specific concerns, we will reach out to the primary care provider and have discussions with that. But we work very closely with them, so that's why we have them go through the referral. But once somebody is referred to us, once they get the referral, if we take care of their pain, then they can come back. They can come back to us at any point because they're established with the department.
Let's talk about what would happen then next. Would someone need an X-ray or an MRI? Maybe you could talk about those and the difference.
No, that's a great question. So it depends on the injury. It depends on the pain that they're having. So if somebody is experiencing back pain and then the pain is going down their leg, we call that a radiculopathy. So if the pain is going down an extremity, then we would normally just for back pain, we'd get an X-ray. And then if the pain is going down a leg or an extremity, then we'd get an MRI.
Okay.
And that would be the same thing for the neck or for the upper back as well. So if the pain is just in the neck, they would get most likely just an X-ray. If it's going down the arm or if it's going into the shoulders and stuff, we would start looking at doing an MRI. And then MRI just gives a very concise image of the spinal cord and the structures around it just to see exactly what's going on.
What do you consider chronic pain?
Chronic pain is considered, so there's two different definitions. Pain that lasts anything over 3 months is the more newer definition. Also, some definitions is any pain that lasts over 6 months. So 3 to 6 months is anything that lasts over lasts that long or greater is considered chronic pain.
If you slept wrong or something and it takes a few days, that's not necessarily chronic pain. Then it's
no,
it might be at the time, but
right.
But it doesn't last that long.
That would be pain, mm-hmm. And then it would be more acute. It would be more of a you did something, and it's probably just a muscle issue and stuff, and that can hurt. But yeah, so it would last less than the 3 months, so it would not be considered chronic pain. No.
Okay, types of pain too. We talked about all over the body, but there's a lot of people with neck pain, right?
Right. So, So neck pain, upper back pain, and low back pain. So if they're having pain just in the neck, that is, can be related to some type of arthritis, some type of that is just staying there. If it's going into the extremity, the arms and stuff like that, then it can be like various other things going on and like a disc type pain that's pushing on a nerve that's creating pain going down the arm. Same thing for the upper and lower back as well. So, and then we also have joint pain, for shoulder pain, hip pain, knee pain. We have to look at it to see is this pain related to the joint, or is it related to one of the a ligament or a tendon that is having an issue within the joint.
If you meet somebody for the first time in your department, Brian, and they say, I'm a farmer or I'm a roofer, you probably almost instantly know that there could be potentially a problem, because it seems like by profession, people have these various injuries, don't they?
So, yes. So certain professions make people more prone to certain injuries, like people in anesthesia, surgeons tend to have more neck issues just because of positioning of patients looking at monitors. So they can have more neck issues. Farmers can have more shoulders, knees, back issues. Roofers can have more knee issues, back issues. People who do flooring and stuff oftentimes have knee issues and stuff. So it just makes them more prone to it. Doesn't mean that you're going to have it for sure, but definitely the profession can make you more prone to certain injuries.
Yeah, and I never thought about that, but people in your profession looking at screens and things like that, that could be a hazard as well.
It is. You know, there's a big thing. They really oftentimes have people come in and look at the setup in the operating room or in your workstation and just make sure that you're screens are set at a good height so your neck is in a nice, good neutral position. We also, when we're doing surgeries, we try to accommodate the surgeon to so they're not having to lean over or reach over the patient and stuff, to just kind of help decrease any workplace type injuries.
All of us, and you know, this day and age, we're looking at screens a lot of the time, in the same position for a lot of hours. It's probably a good idea to get up and walk around once in a while, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, we're seeing, it's funny you bring that up, too, because another thing, we're seeing even a lot younger people having neck issues because we are having so much screen time. And not only computer screen time, but phone screen time. And people are having their neck kind of, you know, forward and down and for long periods of time. So we are seeing more cervical or neck issues with people that have a lot of screen time and younger people.
You're probably walking into somebody while you're looking down at your phone and walking too. That could be a hazard.
That's a hazard, definitely. That's a hazard.
but yeah, I mean, if you're in the same spot all the time, you know, your back, your joints, your hips, everything else, that can, you know, it's almost like you're going to stick that way eventually, right?
Yeah, you know, and physical therapy does a great job on giving people or, providing exercises for people to kind of rethink about their posture. I know even in chronic pain in our department, I specifically go over exercises with patients to help increase their posture, specifically with neck issues and stuff. Just kind of paying attention to posture and being in a good posture, position.
How important are stretching and exercise and things like that, Brian?
Well, so it's all very important. You know, yoga is a great exercise. It helps keep us limber, helps keep us moving and stuff. Exercise, strength training, stretching, all that's going to be good for us. You know, that's going to help keep us healthy, help keep our joints, ligaments, tendons healthy and stuff. One of the things I learned in most of the world, starting at the age of 22, we start to lose space between space between our vertebral bodies, and it just starts to degenerate. We hear of degenerative disc disease, so it starts to degenerate starting at the age about 22, 24. In cultures that do a lot of yoga, the yoga provides microcirculation to these discs, and they do not have the degeneration that we have in the Western civilization. So, just any type of, strength training, yoga, exercise can definitely help.
Being, standing up and walking, getting blood flowing to some of those areas, that's got to be important too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The movement. And, that's part of pain management, why we try to keep people, active, keep them, being able to move. Specifically, some people, they're able to exercise, once we kind of help decrease their pain. But any of the movement is definitely going to help them with their health in general. So that is our goal, is to try to help keep people active and help keep them kind of moving and moving on their daily living.
If you're doing stretching too, you don't want to stretch past the pain, so to speak, do you?
No, not really. I mean, you have to kind of work up to it, I wouldn't be able to stretch very far on certain positions and stuff. And, you kind of have to work up to it. So, it's kind of you want to build a habit of working on, doing stretching and stuff.
Do you work a lot with seniors?
We do. We see a lot of seniors with the chronic pain. We see people of all ages, mid-age, and definitely see quite a few seniors as well.
Okay. The other thing I was going to ask you about is just how it works with the different departments at the Richland Hospital. Do you work closely with everybody related to pain management?
Yeah. So, you know, when somebody comes in with pain management, we look at, you know, what are treatment modalities that we can use to help this patient? Oftentimes we'll ask the patient what they have tried up to this point. So sometimes, you know, people have tried chiropractic care or massage therapy, you know, and if that's working for them, we'll tell them to stay with that. You know, we may add some other things, you know, some physical therapy, occupational therapy. If they're not doing massage, potentially massage therapy. And sometimes, you know, just even some trigger point injections or just kind of to try to loosen up some of the muscles and stuff. So definitely we work with the therapy department, physical therapy, occupational therapy quite a bit.
Your department is not that, though. You refer them to the physical therapy department then.
That is correct. We refer them to physical therapy.
And in terms of, you know, just kind of carrying on, maybe somebody goes to a point where, okay, I don't need you anymore, but then, you know, maybe 6 months later they need you again.
Yeah, so that does happen. And, you know, so we always tell people if we've taken care of their pain and they're at a good place, then they kind of are released from our services. And then if or when the pain starts to return, to call us back. And you know, then they call us and we can relook to see if we think it's the same pain that's kind of going on. So definitely they call us back. Oftentimes too, if people come in, if we've taken care of that pain, we'll see if they have something else. So sometimes somebody will come in and they'll have back pain that's really bothering them and we'll help them with that. And then next they'll say, okay, that's better. I would like us to look at my shoulder. I'm having some shoulder pain. Like, okay. So, we'll kind of go down that path with them.
Okay. And then kind of go from there. And what about insurance too? Is that a hurdle sometimes, Brian?
It can be definitely a hurdle. You know, we try to make it not a hurdle. We talk with our billing and our department to see if there's a way that we can get coverage for people if their insurance isn't covered there. But it can be a hurdle. And, you know, that's kind of the nature of healthcare, unfortunately, right now. But we try to do our best to have our billing department work with their insurance to see if we can get covered there.
Mm-hmm. If you've got the referral from the doctor, though, that's probably the first step, the step in the right direction.
Isn't it? It is a step in the right direction. And then we can kind of see. And, you know, if the doctor at the Richland Hospital seeing you, and if you're covered by that doctor, you're going to be covered by the pain management department as well.
Sure. Good stuff, Brian. Anything else you'd like to add this morning?
No, I think thank you for having me, and I appreciate being here.
Always a pleasure to have you. We learn a lot of stuff from you. And again, people should make an appointment with their primary if they're interested in anybody or anything that we've talked about here today.
Yes.
Good deal. Brian McCarville joining us on WRCO CRNA at the Richland Hospital on this portion of the morning show. Oakwood Fruit Farm is open. Stop by for the area's best new crop apples, Honey Crisp, Gala, and Macintosh. Also, the bakery is open with fresh apple cider donuts, homemade caramel apples, take and bake pies, turnovers. The fall mums are in. Discount Tuesdays are back with 10% off all apple purchases. Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs and like them on Facebook.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family.
English Prairie Distilling is located in Uptown Muscadet at 124 North Wisconsin Avenue. They are creating and procuring a unique blend of craft spirits that reflect the Driftless region and the people in it. Our tasting room is a testament to craft cocktails. Our mixologists have a stable of amazing standard drinks, and every week we offer unique mixtures that will have you saying, "I'd like another." If you're looking for a special night out for your birthday, anniversary, special gatherings, or you're just touring the Driftless area, you've found your spot. Come to English Prairie Distilling Company in Muscadet and be ready for a treat.
Want to make your home a more comfortable place, but don't think you can afford a top-brand heating and cooling system? Well, Carrier has the right solutions for every budget. When you turn to your Carrier expert, they'll show you our full lineup of best-in-class home comfort systems and help you pick the one that best fits into your home budget. Because in this economy, who couldn't use a little more comfort?
Contact the experts at Ash Creek Plumbing, Heating, and Electric, 647-5500.
Don't miss the Family Thrift Shop Anything Summer 50 Cent Sale happening September 4th through September 7th. Like them on Facebook and check out the pop-up sales and featured silent auction treasures. Shop smart, where your donations are appreciated and your purchases have helped support our local community for over 50 years. The Family Thrift Shop, 120 South Main Street. Open Wednesday to Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 10 to 4. See you there at the Family Thrift Shop in downtown Richland Center.
WRCO-FM Radio will now conduct a test of the emergency alert system. Please note, this is only a test of the emergency alert system from WRCO-FM Radio in Richland Center.
On our morning show, Michelle Reinen joins us from Dat Camp, talking about some things to maybe keep you out of a pickle this month of September. How are you, Michelle?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. It's September already. I think we say that every month of the year, but here we go into the fall season. It doesn't seem possible, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's just amazing that here we are, summer fun and sun, and now we're falling into fall, if you will. It's incredible.
And we really hit the ground running with election season now, and I'm guessing there are scammers out there ready for to try and pick off somebody, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Something we're definitely going to see this fall is that election coverage. We've already seen plenty of it and all those ads out there. But there's thousands of political action committees or PACs that are registered with the Federal Elections Commission or the FEC. And these PACs can fundraise and solicit donations to campaign for or against candidates that are running for office, and even, you know, public action or political issues. So more they can run those issue campaigns. But because of that, we're going to see those bad actors, scammers out there that will create fake PACs. And that's what we want to talk about today.
So explain what those are.
Well, so really we think of them as the ill-intentioned PACs. They solicit donations, but little to no money raised is spent on the political campaign itself, again, whether that's to support a candidate or a particular issue. Instead, PAC scammers pocket this money for themselves, and sometimes a single scammer might create dozens of fake individual PACs at one time. They often ask for small donations totaling less than $200 so they can avoid disclosing donor information to the FEC, which makes that harder for law enforcement officials to identify them and their victims. And they may even disguise their PAC as non-PAC charities to solicit these well-intentioned donations, or so they are claiming. In some cases, these PAC scammers claim that they'll match contributions to attract donors that could be excited to support that cause or candidate. And so these are all things we want to make sure that consumers are watching for. And of course, we know that some PAC scammers may utilize voice cloning technology, that AI that's out there, to mimic a political candidate's voice, which could lend legitimacy to the operation, or they may even try and imitate a celebrity voice to entice people as well.
That's interesting, and not necessarily just political. It could be somebody representing, let's say, a religious organization or something. You know, I mean, this really could go a lot of different directions, couldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it could be that candidate's campaign. It could be an issue campaign. It could be, like you mentioned, religious. It can go many different directions. And so we really recommend that you donate to candidates and organizations through their official websites, not to someone who's just called you over the phone or sent you an email or a text message or even connected with you via social media. Be sure you are being the initiator of the contact rather than responding to that contact.
Let's talk about fake PayPal invoices.
Yeah, here recently, we here at DadCap have received a number of reports from consumers who were targeted by these PayPal scams. And so again, this is the fake PayPal invoices that are out there, not the legitimate. But scammers use that fake PayPal because it is well known and individuals do use it in everyday life. The consumers described receiving invoices and money requests through PayPal from people they did not recognize about purchases that they had not actually made. In these scams, the requester sometimes includes a note that they hope will pressure the individual into sending money right away. And in other cases, scammers sent out an email invoice designed to look like a legitimate message from PayPal saying that that consumer had recently purchased cryptocurrency, telecom services, or some other product. We have seen that variety there. And occasionally, a fake customer service phone number was provided, and if called, actually connected you to the scammer.
I had a family member not too long ago get a notice that the package they ordered was in and offered money. They had actually ordered something, but not this. And so they're able to figure out, I guess, what you're ordering and what some of your trends are, aren't they?
Well, that could be how it appears, and it could also just be timing because people are, you know, out there purchasing and using PayPal as a mechanism of payment that the scam could just trigger at the same time, and you think that it's connected and that they are looking at your data when it just aligns. And so that's something to be cautious of. If you think that there's any way that they could be monitoring that, you want to get into your account and be sure that you are changing your password. So there is protection that no one can access that history and information. But if you receive suspicious or unexpected invoices or money requests, don't just pay out of the blue. If you suspect that it could be legit, check your own records to see if you've made that purchase and match the descriptions. Never open any links or use any contact information provided in these requests. Instead, only use the information found on the PayPal's official website, which you go to on your own, again, without clicking any links, because you'll just want to verify information before you take action.
As big as PayPal is, I'm guessing they have people in their help center that can direct you in the right direction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll want to be contacting that help center, which can be found on the official website. If you think that you have been receiving these questionable messages, or again, if you question something with your account.
Well, we're getting ready to maybe put the cars up on blocks and put some things away for winter. I know you wanted to talk about storing for winter and staying out of jams in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that winter weather is coming, as we mentioned at the beginning, and maybe you have a boat or recreational vehicle or that classic car that you're going to want to store. And just consumers may not realize that here at DadCap in our Bureau of Business Trade Practices, we're responsible for enforcing a variety of consumer protection laws, which include licensing and regulating public warehouse keepers who store for hire. Now, storing for hire means the accepting and maintaining custody of another person's property for payment. It's not including those rental storage units or self-storage that renters can access at any time or that they want, and they store their own belongings. Again, this is that storing for hire where you don't have the specific access to the unit. They are licensed by our agency and include many types of businesses that store a variety of items for individuals. So these could include warehousing companies that handle product distribution, a moving company that stores household goods, maybe a vehicle dealership or service center that provides off-season storage for those boats, RVs, power sport vehicles, and just even consider a farmer who rents an empty barn, shed, or field as a storage space could fall in this category. And we keep a list of licensed public warehouse keepers on the website, and we want to be sure that when selecting one, you consider those storage requirements for the property you're storing and whether the type of storage being provided meets those needs, and check them out before you put any down payment or sign any agreement to be sure that they are licensed as a public warehouse keeper in Wisconsin.
If something happens, does that affect insurance coverage? Maybe if they're improperly insured, the place where you're storing everything?
Well, this is where it can get complicated, because if you are doing a self-storage, then you need to have that renter's insurance. You'll still want to have insurance for the item that you are storing, but often that insurance company is going to want to validate that they are a store for hire or a licensed public warehouse keeper, and so you will want to be able to provide that information, and that's where verifying before you sign that contract so it doesn't impact your insurance in a negative way should something happen in that off season to that location and your item that you've stored.
Switching gears, credit repair services and scams. That's been in the news lately, Michelle.
Yeah, so if there's information on your credit report that's negative but correct, individuals could be really tempted by companies claiming that they have an easy fix, but hopefully you know not to believe that easy fixes aren't necessarily the way. You could end up being charged hundreds of dollars in illegal upfront fees, lose control of your private information, and do further harm to your credit score if you do engage with these companies. So credit repair services promoted on websites and social medias often claim that they can permanently remove all negative information from your credit report and improve your credit score. They say they can create a new credit identity or hide bad credit history, but they do this using stolen Social Security numbers or convincing you to apply for an EIN or an employer identification number from the IRS under false pretenses, which could result in fines or even prison time. And so we don't want people to get messed up with all of that. In the best case scenarios, what we've seen is that a credit repair scammer solution is simply to provide you with letter templates that you can send to credit reporting agents asking to remove that information. But those are available for people for free, you know, at different credit repair services and nonprofit organizations that assist people with this. So we don't want people to get tied up with these scammers. Real credit companies can't legally remove information from your credit report that's current and correct. Again, like I said, the Federal Trade Commission is one of those organizations where you can get letter templates online for free, but they're only going to help you remove a legitimate mistake on your credit report, not real information that tends to have a negative impact on your report.
Anything where they ask you to pay up front, that's a red flag, right?
Absolutely. Avoid any credit repair company that asks you for that payment up front, or one that warns you not to contact the credit bureaus directly, or advises you to dispute credit report information that you know is accurate. That's not going to be able to be removed when the information is true, just impacts you negatively.
With the fall season coming up and maybe some college students looking for jobs or parents looking for part-time jobs, you got to be aware there as well, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. This is about fake job scammers using WhatsApp to entice people. And again, it's about those students who might be looking for that fall employment now that they're back in school. So something with less hours, and parents who have kids going back to school or maybe looking for some more flexibility while their young ones are in school. And so they could be enticed by work that pays well and requires minimal time commitment. And online jobs sound like they fit the bill, but unfortunately, many of these offers are sent by scammers hoping to just steal your private information, and there's no job on the other end. So what this looks like is, imagine getting a text message with a job offer that pays hundreds of dollars a day for doing remote work. There are red flags. The company hiring is a mystery. The message only specifies an age requirement for the job. And most suspicious of all is they ask you to text them your social security number. And if you send your personal information to a stranger, you're likely just putting yourself at risk for identity theft. And again, most of these scams that we've seen coming through are happening through WhatsApp. And so we want people to just be really cautious, because I know we've talked about different job scams over the years.
Yeah, we definitely have. And certainly getting a job and, you know, going through that interview process. I think we've even talked about people going as far as a video interview and them stealing your personal information through that interview, Michelle.
Absolutely, that they try and make everything look legitimate by going to that whole phase of getting you into maybe a Google room to hold that interview.